Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about some of the latest Disney news, and we're going to answer some planning questions about Walt Disney World. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 437 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined today, as always, by John.
I am not fast.
What was his name? Flash? What was his name? Why do I forget?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
No, that was Baymax.
Gosh. Yeah, that was Baymax that I was talking about, yeah.
I don't know why. Duh.
He was like, I am not fast.
Baymax.
My wife actually has a shirt that says that with Baymax because she is not fast.
At least she has a sense of humor about it.
Which is good. And in our Walt Disney World, that were the, I started to say icons. What do you call them?
You like your avatar or whatever.
Yeah, the avatar. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word avatar.
Your character that you.
Yes. She is Flash, actually. On
right.
That Which is makes sense. Currently at the moment.
There you go. Mine is Donald, as you've seen. It fits.
Because you get mad as a duck whenever people don't do what you think they should.
Basically. I get
at Walt Disney World, at least.
Yes. Yes.
Your wife would probably agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think she would appreciate if I bought her a Baymax shirt.
No.
I don't think she'd appreciate
it. You wouldn't think that was very funny?
Probably not. But we will talk about some news first.
Is it?
And then we'll answer some questions that we dug through on Reddit. Actually, we haven't really dug through them. We just randomly picked some.
We're going to do it on the fly. We'll do it live.
Yeah, we'll do it live for you. It hasn't been a great week for Disney. I'll say that. What do you think? I mean, not been a great week for them. In a lot of different ways.
What all's happened this week?
Well, the lawsuit got thrown out. Dismissed. No. That's one.
So you're talking about the, that's... not
surprising,
Reedy Creek. Honestly.
I mean, probably not. I thought they had a pretty decent case, actually, but...
Well, I mean, they're going to appeal it, but...
Of course
that's what anybody does. They just...
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying is, like, everyone does that if they have the means to do so, yes.
Yeah.
That's just what you do.
They really got bigger things to worry about, to be honest. Do they really think that he's made that big of an impact? First they say he's not, and then they do this. So,
yeah. Obviously they want full control back. I mean, that makes sense. I think they should try, at least.
But,
although, the judge, in his the statement, it was a little bit like, well, yeah, it definitely is, like, targeting, but on the face of the law. Like, I mean, essentially, I forgot exactly. Try to find the quote, but he was like, yeah, it definitely was, like, retaliatory actions, but on the face of it, like, they didn't break any law, like, doing what they did. Like, okay, sure. I mean, that kind of makes sense. But why did they change the law? Like,
what do you mean, change the law?
Repealing the, whatever you want to call it, repealing the special district, you want to call it. Like, on the face of it, sure, yeah, they didn't do anything against the law. They had their right to do that. But why did they do it? They would have never done it had it not been for all the other stuff, you know, that led up to it. To me, I feel like that Disney should still have some kind of case there.
In a way, they are still making Disney special, just in a different way.
Well, right. Just in a way, right. Yeah, taking the control away from Disney.
He was talking about not making them special, but it was like, in a way, they are making them special in a different way. Because, what was it? The district that Universal has, aren't they? Didn't they get to pick their the people over it, right? Wasn't that true?
Yeah. says the judge acknowledged that Disney is harmed by the laws enacted, saying Disney's loss of voting rights in the district is enough to constitute a constitutional injury, but that because the law impacts other special districts in the state, Disney cannot say that they're being singled out. Like, I'm not sure that this particular law affects other districts, though. Not sure where you're getting that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm biased towards Disney, but this guy, I believe, was appointed by Trump. He actually graduated from University of Florida and Auburn University, interestingly enough.
Quick question. Do you expect, this being an election year, do you at any point expect Donald Trump to even acknowledge this situation at all?
Probably not, unless he thinks it can benefit him now that DeSantis is out of the race.
But like, it's got nothing to do with it. It had more to do with DeSantis.
Yeah.
Probably hurt himself, truthfully, by doing this and getting so involved in this, to be honest.
Yeah. It makes you wonder what he's going to, like, he really isn't going to benefit from this anymore either, to, like, boast about it.
It's one of those type fights where nobody wins.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his second
term,
right?
It's pretty obvious
now.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It should be obvious to him now that it's one of those type fights where nobody wins.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, he's got nothing to gain now that he's out of the presidential race, so.
I just don't see how was that going to help his presidential bid? That's what I'm saying.
Well, it was
other than getting headlines.
The wokeness, that was his thing. But
no, I mean, but here's what, like I said, nobody's going to win in this situation. It's probably eventually just going to, like, people are going to stop talking about it, and then, yeah, it's eventually just going to do like most news stories do. They make headlines for a while, and then they just quietly fade into the background, and then people forget exactly where they last left it.
Yeah. 5 years from now, people will be like, wait, what all happened again? What was that thing? But although you never know, it just depends on how badly they want to stick it to Disney. If they want to or not, but we'll see.
I mean, it's kind of hard with the case or whatever it is being in the Disney site headlines. I don't even know if this is really making that much national news anymore, to be honest. I mean, I haven't seen anything pop up on the national news side regarding it anymore, especially now that DeSantis has dropped out. So,
right.
Yeah. I think it's become more of a local thing. It's likely to fade into the background, except for those that are like the Disney sites, news sites, like what we look at.
Right. And this is likely going to take forever to resolve itself one way or the other. So,
yeah. Other than people very easily, like, stop caring about things after so long. After they get bored easily. That's America. Yeah.
Right.
And move on to the next thing.
Speaking of moving on to the next thing, this one caught my attention today. It says Disney World's beginning to test bag check x-ray machines at theme parks. So I wonder, like an airport would do.
That's interesting. How does that save time? I think that would actually increase compared to what they're doing.
I don't know, because I guess maybe what they would do is if you
still
go through
the initial checkpoint.
Right, and then say, hey, bag check, then you just go and have it manually scanned versus having someone dig through your bag and look through it.
Seems like a lot of money to do that, though. I mean, you know what I mean? For the second phase. The only thing I can see here is, what does that do? That eliminates some employees because you wouldn't have to have as many people searching bags, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it sounds like that would do.
You just have one person looking, like, at the airport, scanning their bag.
Yeah.
Ignoring all of the, like, you know, major stuff. And then, like, hey, you've got a water bottle in there. And then the guy before him had, like, a rifle or something. Anyway.
So, okay. I would hope that would never show up at Disney. A rifle in the bag? Yeah. Good Lord, what size bag is that?
Hopefully not. Well. The same.
I mean, I might could find them having something like a 9mm or a 22 or something, but good Lord.
Yeah, hopefully not. But it does make you wonder if they start checking bags? Are they going to, like, scanning bags, are they going to find more stuff? You'll hear stories about that.
It could. I don't know that it's, I don't know. I guess maybe I think the hope in this is to not have to have quite as many people physically putting their hands through people's bags.
Right. Right. I feel like this is more that than it is, let's help guests save time.
Right. And two,
this is cost-cutting.
You never know. In this day and age, there's probably been people trying to make accusations of, you know, I had something in there and now it's missing. It must have been the security guard, you know, type deal.
Really?
You know, people making those type accusations. Even though you're right there watching them.
Right.
Or supposed to be.
Ew.
You know.
So this looks like Epcot is where they have this picture from, so.
That's the one, that's the one I'm looking at, too. It's definitely Epcot.
A couple of other minor stories. The Hey Hey annual pass holder magnet is now at Epcot for the month. So I wish I could get down there to get one, but I don't think I will be able to. It does look kind of cool, actually. I kind of like that one. That's a fun one. So if you're
Should
a pass holder, go get it.
Should we maybe cook him?
I mean, he doesn't look like he has a lot of meat on him. But yeah, of course, it's at Creations Gift Shop. That's where they have been doing it lately for the, but you only have till February 23rd, 2024 in order to get it. And it's open, of course, from 9 to 9. And yeah, just go in there, scan your ticket, and they will give you a magnet. Did you see this thing too about the permit file for construction at the Galactic Star Cruiser?
I did see something about a permit being filed. Is there anything interesting on the permit?
It said it was an awning company.
Awning company.
Has filed a permit for general construction at the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel. So, doesn't indicate what type of work it'll be.
I have no idea what that would be, unless does it have to do with maybe deconstruction?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're tearing something down. Or moving something to Galaxy's Edge.
Maybe.
That'd be nice.
I guess it could be. I'm still somewhat a little bit, I mean, I'm not like super sad, but I'm a little bit sad I didn't get to experience this at least once.
Yeah, me too.
But
we were talking about it when they had the discounts, and then they all very quickly were like, oh, it's closing on this, you know, like, what was it, September 30th or something?
Yeah.
Last year, and it was like, ah, and it sold out immediately after that, so.
I just don't understand how no one that thought, I mean, when they were doing this project, how they couldn't foresee this having, what's the word, the sustainability, the long-term sustainability.
Yeah, I
don't know how long they expected this to be a hit at that price.
When they planned this, they were in the Chapek era, and they felt like they were invincible. Like nothing could hit them. They just squeeze every dime. And keep squeezing.
This was on the docket. This was on the docket before Chapek took over.
Before he took over, but this was like, I think he probably helped set the pricing and how much they were gonna.
Well, that's just it, though. The pricing is not the only thing. I mean, the thing is, just like Galaxy's Edge today, right?
Mm-hmm.
People don't make that big of a deal about it because. I can't think of a single Star Wars fan on the planet that was interested in them telling a new story when it comes to the land. I mean, it's funny because they use the opposite strategy of what they do with IP everywhere else in the park. The familiarity we're going to throw in your face, but we're not going to do that with Star Wars. We're going to try to do new.
Right.
I mean.
Doesn't make sense.
Do you hear where I'm going?
Yes, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Also, they did cut a lot out of the original plans and migrated it to this Galactic Star Cruiser. Like the restaurant, you know, originally there was going to be an actual sit-down restaurant with a show and all that stuff at the Galaxy's Edge. But
if you were to go back to the early days of this podcast, because whenever... Mm-hmm. we first started this, it was right after the D23 announcements where they announced all of the stuff for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
All the things that we were hopeful for, and then look at what we actually received and see how that sounds.
Yeah. Roaming droids were one. I think they did like a roaming droid for one day, like recently.
Well, you know, they do have a history of having some ambitious projects
and cutbacks,
and having to water it down. But I feel like this one was very heavily cut compared to the initial plans, unlike some. So,
right.
Yeah.
Anyway, in other news outside of Disney.
Outside of Disney?
Universal. That was a big thing this week, if you haven't heard. Universal does all this construction and then they announce something, you know, like.
You mean they don't reveal too much too early?
Right. They'd kind of. But although, to me, this concept art and the new video they posted and all this stuff is like, it kind of doesn't look that much different than. It hasn't really changed that much. Maybe we're used to Disney cutting back all this stuff and anytime something new is released, but. What did you think of it? Did you take a look at it? What did you think?
I really haven't watched it so far. I mean, talking about the unveiling, I guess, of it.
Yeah. But. I think it looks really cool. And this park in particular is going to be a park I would go to mainly because of the Nintendo. I'm not as big into the Harry Potter thing. My kids aren't yet either, which maybe they will be at some point. I know that's kind of the big draw most people talk about is Harry Potter, but that section looks cool. The other section that I would potentially be interested in is like the Dark Universe, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where they have like all the, Frankenstein and all the old like
the stuff
horror
they have
films, right. That they did back in the day. That's interesting to me because it's something you haven't really seen at a major theme park.
Mm-hmm.
Not me, anyway. How to Train Your Dragon, not really a fan of the series, but might be cool because of, you know, the kids might enjoy it. I don't know, but. And I've heard some people talk about there's a whole lot of, like, water and fountains and green space in the middle that is kind of like. Epcot Gardens looking to me. It's an interesting layout. The hotel looks a lot like Grandestino to me. Mm-hmm. And that one restaurant that's like has a giant window looks interesting. But again, I'm like, maybe it's just because I'm biased, of course, and I'm a big Disney fan. I prefer Disney IP stuff for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Or at least the classic IP, the latest IP, there's not a whole lot.
Well, right. I mean, if you're talking about the last year or two.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know. Like, the Nintendo thing looks cool, and I'm looking forward to, like, the Donkey Kong coaster and stuff. But I'm not, like, that's kind of it. I don't know.
Project Universal has been in, entertainment-wise, has definitely exceeded that of Disney's this past year.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, no doubt. I'm not denying that.
The Mario movie and really the Trolls movie that just came out. The Trolls movie is probably it's definitely better than the previous one.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm like, I have no interest in Trolls. Mario, yes. But that's really it. Like, I'm not really into Harry Potter.
It's because you grew up with Mario.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's the main reason. And the movie was really good. And so what they've done with it, they've done a great job. Although I will say the land in California is a little small and the Mario Kart thing looks pretty cool, but I don't know, it's not an e-ticket in my book. I don't know. The Donkey Kong coaster.
You have a ticket
cool
book?
Though. I mean, if there were such a thing. I'm still not like blown away by it, if that makes sense. It looks nice, but I'm not.
Okay, so I just was looking in this article and saw this upcoming parks and experiences openings and events for Disney.
Yeah.
And this was listed in November of 2023, right? So they had stuff coming up The Adventureland Treehouse, which is already open now, is the first one on the list. World of Frozen, which is also open now. Luminous is now out. Zootopia is, although it's had some negative news.
Yeah, a few things have happened there.
World Celebration at Epcot also has been...
mostly done. Most of it.
And the Disneyland Hotel Royal Transformation, January 25th. Pixar Place, which is one we can talk about because it just happened.
Right.
And then still in the future right now, Fantasy Springs in Tokyo, Disney Lookout K at Lighthouse Point, which is also later this year in June. Tiana's will be this year. The DVC cabins at Fort Wilderness will be later this year. DVC Poly should be later this year. And the Treasure will be in December of this year. And, of course, the cruise line has two more ships that are on the docket at least. So for next year, you got the Adventure. And then in 2026, there's another one that we don't know
the name yet.
But it is a Wish class, as they call it, ship.
Yeah. Going back to Epic Universe really quick, I did want to say this because I'm not stupid. I'm not overly impressed with it in terms of, like, it doesn't speak to me that much. Like, I will probably go, though. But Disney's going to be impacted by this a lot. I don't know that... I wonder if they're as concerned as they should be, because you feel like Disney's not really...
Well, they're going to play it off no matter what, but...
Right. But they got caught off guard by Harry Potter the first time around in, what, 2012 or 14 or whenever it was.
Yeah, but see, back then... Universal was going to make some impact, but I mean, they thought, whatever.
It became a pretty big thing, and they're like, oh, okay, and that spurred them on to finish Pandora and then Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge, and that was okay, we got them now, done.
The business was not, their business was not that affected by the Harry Potter coming out. I mean, it was,
well,
I mean, I think people, they still went to both.
Right.
It didn't affect it as much. With the price of things nowadays is what they really have to be concerned about, because people will not be able to afford to do both.
Right. Because we're seeing
they will make choices.
But now that Universal has three parks, you're going to see this shift where people may...
Right.
And we saw it, like I mentioned last week, the folks that we saw at Oga's Cantina, they did a two-day at Universal, one-day at Disney trip over a weekend. And they're just like, yeah, we have older kids and they don't really want to do anything at Disney except like Star Wars.
So yeah, and we don't have the 2023 attendance report because it's way too soon, but the 2022 Magic Kingdom was on top, but Islands of Adventure was number two.
Right. Yeah.
Followed by Hollywood Studios, and then Universal Studios Florida was right behind Hollywood Studios, and then Epcot's behind that, and of course Animal Kingdom's bringing up the rear.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Epic Universe is going to be, who knows, it might outdo Magic Kingdom in 2025.
It would be interesting to see.
Maybe not 2025, because it'll be just half the year, but in its first full year, it could. Yeah.
Well, Disney's got a couple of years to try and put something out that might help keep their numbers up. But the thing that's weird is Magic. Well, here's the thing, though. Magic Kingdom... What do they have that's really a true, like a that should attract new people? It's just the fact that it's the Magic Kingdom that keeps putting it up there for whatever reason.
Well, Tron was the draw recently, you know, to increase that, but.
But was it?
I mean,
I think people were still going to Magic Kingdom.
Right, in general, but it probably increased it a little. I would guess that the 2023 numbers are higher than 2022 for a lot of reasons, but.
I think the reason why they haven't focused a whole lot on making attractions to draw people to Magic Kingdom is they don't have to.
Yeah.
Or at least not yet.
I think that's why they're thinking, quote unquote, beyond Big Thunder, is because I think they do know that they should expand it. It is a small footprint of a park, and it's the most visited park in the world or whatever. So they should do that. It should be bigger for that reason, because it can get very crowded at times. So I don't know. They're going to have trouble next year, though, I guarantee you. Next summer is going to be the cheapest see Disney in a long time.
But look, check this out. Think of this. Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Most visited park. How many of those IPs are ancient and by today's standards that are in that park?
A lot. Yeah. Almost all of them.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually got to thinking about this the other day whenever Disneyland opened in 1955. When we would look at the attractions there, we always think about them being old because everything was established. But in 1955, a lot of that stuff had just come out that they were putting in Disneyland.
Peter Pan was very new.
Yeah.
So 2 years earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stuff like that.
Swiss Family Robinson, all that stuff was pretty recent.
I remember as a kid, I was thinking, well, why didn't they make the castle in Disneyland Cinderella? Well, because Cinderella had not been released yet by the time Disneyland.
Yeah, when it opened, right.
Yeah. Cinderella was what, like 1963 or something like that? 61? I mean, it was after.
Yeah. I think even though Sleeping Beauty didn't come out until after too, right? When did
it was Sleeping right around Beauty? That time. I think they were in the works is probably the reason why they did it.
I think that's why they chose it. I think it was 59, Sleeping Beauty. But it was in the works, and that's why
they had plans.
Chose it, yeah. Crazy.
There?
Yeah.
Just thinking of it in those terms, though. You see what I mean?
Yeah, everything was new. Good point. But it is going to be huge when this park opens. I'm not crazy enough to think that, because I'm not as big of a fan of it, that tons of people are going to be, because it will. It's going to be huge.
You have a hard time giving Universal a chance.
True.
I think once you actually do, you'll probably still not want to, but there's a part of you that's going to have to.
Yeah. but here's the thing. I'm talking about going, because I probably will, because there's the Nintendo stuff in particular is the main draw for me.
Right.
But and other stuff, a little bit. There's a few other things I would go do there.
But, well, and too, with them, even though they do have some attractions for younger ages, the majority of their stuff is for at least, we'll say preteen to teen is the majority of their, what they appeal to.
That was their bread and butter back in the day to get people there was saying it was for the older folks, the older kids.
Yeah. More so than Disney, right? There were
fairy tales and pixie dust, not quite your thing. That was one of their commercials.
Is that one of the ads from back?
Something like that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Tell you what, their Twitter account is pretty hilarious with some of the stuff they put out at times.
Yeah, they have better. I think they do a better pretty job humorous. Than Disney at that. But anyway,
they've had a patch. They need to regroup. They're not connecting with the fan base with their stories currently. Pretty obvious.
Yeah. Disney's kind of missing on almost every area right now. This is going to be it's like a rebuilding period.
Yeah.
Hopefully not another dark age like we had.
I don't get it. I can't see how a lot of the stuff that they put out, I can't see how it got to the phase that it got to whenever I see it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just don't get it. So, anyway. Yeah. And obviously, I'm not the target audience. I'm a 45-year-old male, so I'm not the target audience. But
what,
it's
for
not
Epic
clicking.
Universe?
It's not even. No, I'm talking about for the stuff that Disney's putting out, like with their shows and stuff. But it's obviously not clicking with the age group that they want either, or else it would be more successful.
Yeah.
And you do have to appeal to the parents to some degree because they're the ones that let them watch it up to a certain age. So,
right. So, we talked about this earlier. Pixar Place Hotel is now open. That was one of the things you mentioned. It did just happen. I forgot the exact day, but I saw pictures. What did you take a look and see what you thought? I mean,
I like this.
Not bad at all.
If you're going to theme it to something.
I like that it's not just one thing, right? Like, the contemporary has Incredibles. I would rather this, like, some of the rooms, there's Ratatouille, Toy Story, Nemo, Inside Out. All these are in the theming of the room, where to me, like, that makes more sense to me. It's, there's a Pixar lamp on the, you know, desk in the room, you know.
Yep.
And the Pixar ball pillow, you know, thingies. I don't know. The theming of the room looks really good to me compared to some of the, like I said, the contemporary just being Incredibles. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of just that.
Well, I mean, you're not going to retheme the contemporary to full on. So
I don't know. Maybe it's the multi-property thing. And just, you can find something you like out of it versus trying to do one thing and it's like, okay.
I see in this one picture, it's pretty cool that they're going to have Joe Gardner actually playing the piano.
In the lobby? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. That's actually a cool idea.
And Bing Bong is going to make appearances.
Yeah. So he'll be able to, I guess, do like photos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
I would consider staying here. The price is going to be, pretty pricey for going, if you're going to go out there.
I guess it would still be the cheapest of the three, but
I don't know.
Not by
much. I see they have like a splash pad area that's devoted to Nemo. Looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it kind of has that look of of the Art of Animation, but obviously smaller version of it. Is this restaurant? Yeah, the Great Maple Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really good.
Probably that one stayed more the traditional. They put a little touch on it, I think, with that the light bulb shaped
Sketchpad Cafe fixture. Looks cool.
Yeah, that one was more the themed one.
Yeah. Anyway,
I like the colors.
I like it. I would want to stay here, actually. But again, it's the room picture kind of looks like a value type Armand room, but this is going to be like the deluxe pricing. But
yeah, I was going to say they were, it was prior, the Paradise Pier Hotel prior to this revamp was the cheapest of the three.
Yeah,
and it may still be, but I feel like it's going to be higher than it was.
Probably, most likely.
Probably, it depends on how well it fills up, I guess. You know?
Anyway, it looks cool, though. I think they did a good job on that one.
It's kind of like Caribbean Beach. Their prices did increase some with the Skyliner, but at the same time, it's a lot of people criticize it for being outdated. As a matter of fact, I think it was one of the last things I saw is it was one of the lowest rated Disney resorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Currently. And I think a lot of people refer back to the fact that it's, you know, even though they've updated some of the rooms, but the resort itself is very dated, I guess, in comparison to some of the other ones. Like, it's probably had the least amount of work done to it on the, the surrounding areas. Other than taking a whole section of it and turning it into Riviera, which kind of doesn't count. So,
yeah.
Since now you changed it into a whole different resort.
Now that you mention that, I think in the mod category, I would probably say Caribbean, even with the Skyliner, is my least favorite choice. Like, I would pick Riverside over Caribbean Beach.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I can understand some people with the updated part, but I still like the, I mean, it looks like something you would see in the Caribbean. I mean, and I like flying over that section with the Skyliner. It's one of my favorite parts.
I mean, that's fine, but I wouldn't want to stay there. I just, the rooms aren't great to me.
It's pretty spread out.
They need a better.
That's what people.
That too. Have that. Is very spread out.
That's still, I don't know, to me, the worst of the mods is still Riverside for me because it's spread out and it's not, I mean, it's just to me.
Yeah. I think I would take Riverside over Caribbean Beach. I don't know. The Skyliner obviously is a huge perk, but if you have to walk a mile to get there, it's like, what's the benefit?
Well, it depends. If you're in Aruba, then you have the...
Sure.
Right there at the Riviera Skyliner. So,
sure. as far as deluxes go, what would be your least favorite?
Deluxe?
Yeah. Just thinking out loud.
Least favorite deluxe. Well, I haven't stayed at them all. The ones I have stayed at, they all have their good points. I would say, if I'm going to go and say what's my least favorite theme out of all of the deluxe resorts, it's probably going to be Grand Floridian, actually.
Really, yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
I could never pick any of the Magic Kingdom area resorts.
I liked Yacht Club, and then when we stayed at Beach Club, I think I was not that, you know, thrilled with Beach Club just because of the, I think the food options, there's just not very much there that's real close to the Beach Club side, truthfully.
Yeah.
I think it depends on where you're staying. But that was intentional back then, because if you're in the villas, they didn't really plan on you needing to be. It was more just to live in almost for a short time period.
Yeah.
They were probably thinking you were going to make your own food with the kitchen and everything.
Possibly.
On a regular basis.
Beach Club would probably be my choice as far as Disney deluxe, but in the deluxe category, I would probably do the cop-out answer and pick Dolphin.
The Swan.
Or Swan. Say, or,
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Swan, Dolphin.
Yeah, I didn't count them.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't officially either, but that's the obvious choice to me is Swan, Dolphin, because they're not upkept as nearly as well as the Disney resorts. And the twin full beds, whatever it is that Dolphin has, is like, come on, you gotta upgrade those to queen beds.
I think sometimes it depends on the type of experience you had. Like when you have a view like we had at Yacht Club, that was such a good view, it makes you partial to them, you know, the Yacht Club.
Exactly. There's a room category at the Dolphin that is no view. I've seen that.
It's literally no view.
Yeah, it literally says no view.
I'll say this. I think the best value when it comes to deluxe resorts is Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I would also throw Saratoga in there, I think. Yes, it's farther away, and it is very spread out, but dang, it's a nice resort. I really like Saratoga a lot, so.
I should go a little further with that. The best value is a non-Savannah room at Animal Kingdom.
Of course, yeah.
Because one thing, if you've never stayed there, the emphasis on having a Savannah room, it's really, think about it. It's really not that big of a deal.
Right.
Unless you're going to spend a lot of time in the room.
Exactly. If you're going to be in the parks all day, then what's the point of having a Savannah
room? The pool view is probably the best value out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because of the view you get there.
If I was going to do a resort staycation, that would be awesome. I would love to have the Savannah view. That would be awesome. But just the normal, like, I'm going to be at the parks most of the day, like, you're wasting money doing that to me. Anyway, of the values, it's definitely sports, right? It's got to be All-Star Sports. Because, I mean, there's no contest on that one. It's the worst probably resort at Disney World until they upgrade those rooms.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think if you're doing themes when it comes to the values, it's probably, you know, there's some people that would probably say music's not that great of a theme that they've got it currently.
That's my favorite of the All-Stars to me. Music.
I said theme.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I love the theme. I actually love music as the theme, but I don't know.
I think everybody prefers the movies one of those because it's more Disney-ish, for one.
Yeah, makes sense. But it's the furthest away, too. I hate how far that is.
Now, there is still, which I would hate to see go, don't get me wrong, I love the fact that they just have it, but there is a section at the movies that is obviously outdated for most people, and that's the Love Bug section. There's probably fewer people that remember that film.
I was in that section, too, right next to Herbie.
I think it's cool, though, because of all the Herbies.
There's a cool Toy Story section in there, too.
And people got to remember, at the time that this was built, they had just done the Lindsay Lohan, or was about to do the Lindsay Lohan, maybe one of the two. I forgot which it was. But it was in the Lindsay Lohan Love Bug era when they did it.
Oh.
Well, let's move along.
Yeah, let's do a few of these questions that we're just digging through Reddit, and just some of these are funny maybe, but you know. But some of these are actually interesting, too, like just interesting thought provoking questions. What would you do kind of scenarios?
Yeah. You gonna ask me what I would do?
Yeah, here's one. So someone's coming next week and they're saying the chance of rain is 100%. They currently have Epcot as that day, but they're like, if it does rain, what do you think the best park is for like a day where it's just going to rain all day?
Okay, first of all, they say they're going next week and it's showing that the chance of rain is 100%. That's Florida. Okay.
Right, it could be completely sunny.
Like literally every day. In summertime, you literally every day has a chance of rain and will likely rain at some point. That does not mean it's going to be saturated in rain.
Right, yeah. Doesn't mean it's going to rain all day. 100% chance of rain doesn't mean dawn till dusk rain.
Right. In Central Florida, you cannot, unless there's like a tropical storm or something like that, you cannot go by the regular weather forecast if it says there's going to be a chance of rain. Because there's every day there's a chance of rain.
Even the temperature can vary quite a bit.
Right.
The trip we just went on a few weeks ago was like, there was a few times I looked at it and it's like, oh, it'll be in the 70s every day.
But
and then
which,
it ended up being like in the 50s a couple of the days, you know.
But the question of which park during, let's just say it's rainy week, which one's going to be your go-to?
I'd say a smaller park like Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios would be my choice. Some place that has a lot of indoor
stuff. Smaller park is probably a better option. Although all of them are going to have something that's going to be closed if it's raining.
Right.
There's no one park that's going to be totally
in
the clear.
Test Track will definitely close if it's raining.
Right.
Even without lightning.
I would imagine one good thing about Tron is it wouldn't have a reason to close if it was raining, right? Because it's got the awning, so it's usually going.
I rode Tron in like a thunderstorm before, so
I guess right now at Magic Kingdom, the only one you'd really have to be concerned with closing if it's just rain might be Big Thunder, but it depends on how heavy the rain is even then.
Yeah, sometimes like if there's lightning and stuff too, you know, all the out like Barnstormer and Mine Train.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Barnstormer. Yeah, Barnstormer and Mine Train. Yeah.
Of course, Dumbo would close. All the, like, outdoor stuff would close.
Right, anything outdoor, yeah. But you have a ton of attractions at Magic Kingdom, too, so.
Right. You could also get that golden ticket if you time it right, and you get a lightning lane for something that goes down while it's raining.
I guess the only one that closes for rain, though, at Hollywood is Slinky, so Hollywood might be a good choice.
Yeah. That's why I was thinking, you know, Hollywood, the only problem with Hollywood sometimes is you still could be in these pockets of where you have to walk a long distance in the rain to get from one place to another, whereas Magic Kingdom, everything's a little bit closer.
I would say Hollywood, you do have a lot of places where you can retreat to, close by.
Right, but if you're in Toy Story Land, for example, you're still kind of SOL.
Well, yeah. But then again, your main thing over there is Slinky, so if it's going to be down anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you could do the Toy Story Mania and get indoors, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get to Galaxy's Edge, it's a long walk, you know.
But when they say Epcot, Epcot is... As far as walking space, it's the most massive.
Yeah.
And not a lot of shade, so there's obviously not going to be a lot of shading shelter from rain.
Right.
So even though they have several indoor attractions, Test Track would be down.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's really the only one, though, that would be down during the rain. So it's not a terrible choice other than
it's so
you're going to find
you're
going to have to find yourself
outside a lot
to
get somewhere else,
right, to go from one place to the other.
I would go with Magic Kingdom
is your rainy day park,
although like you said
I'm gonna stick with Studios.
Studios is close second, but if you're trying to get like from one place to another, you gotta walk a long way, and you have to double back. Whereas at least Magic Kingdom, you can kind of go in a circle.
You have a lot of stuff. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, but
definitely not Animal Kingdom.
That'd be my choice. Did you find a question that you liked, or you want me to keep digging?
You can keep going. This is your show this week.
Oh, okay. I thought you were looking too, though. That's what I was gonna ask.
Well, I mean, I noticed the latest one was that one about one a day with a 22-month-old, so it's almost a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
They can do a lot at Magic Kingdom, so, you know, and the thing is, they're probably going to enjoy whatever you do because they're almost two. They don't know, you know what I mean?
And they can ride a lot of stuff at that age if they're, you know, depending on their height and whatever, but still. You can take them on all kinds of stuff, and they get in for free. Go to the baby care center if they get tired.
Let's just say that 2 years old. When you're taking, and we understood this before we did it with our younger kids, right? Yeah. Where we're in there, or kids when they were younger.
Yeah.
You already should know at least that this is for you, not necessarily for them, because they're not going to remember it. I don't care what you think they can. Can't possibly remember. I don't remember specifically going when I was two, but I did. I don't remember it. Yeah. They're not going to remember it, bottom line. So it's really for you. So put them in the positions where whatever pictures you want to take with whoever and all that good stuff.
Right. So here's another question that came upon. It says Disney without a detailed plan. They're taking a last minute trip to Disney or considering it. You say, we've been 3 times, but haven't been for 5 years. It's just going to be me and my husband, so no kids. In your opinion, is it worth it to go without really planning out the days? They did Universal last year during peak season without detailed planning, and it was much more enjoyable to just go with the flow.
Well, you can do it. Unfortunately, Disney doesn't really allow for spontaneity very much anymore. Yeah. They almost force you to plan, even if you don't want to, to some degree.
If you still know enough to know, like, how to pull a dining reservation, how to pull lightning lanes if you wanted to, although it says they haven't been in 5 years, so they wouldn't know probably how to do Genie Plus. So if you want to ride stuff, you'd have to do a little bit of learning how to prepare for that. And virtual queues and stuff, they wouldn't necessarily know that. So that would be the thing. I would say you got to do a little bit. But if it's just you with no kids, like two adults, dude, I think you could totally do it without much planning.
You can. And even with kids, here's what your best bet's going to be. I actually see a similar suggestion here. Don't plan to do everything.
Yeah. That's the hardest thing is...
Once you get
like,
started, you kind of got to dial it back.
Right. If you haven't been in a while and you're like, oh, I want to like do all this stuff, that's the other. It's hard when you get there because you immediately are like, there's so much to do and we're only here for like 3 days or 4 days or whatever, five, whatever it is. And you're never going to get it in no matter how long you stay. You're never going to do everything.
And this kind of brings us to another thing that I don't like about the dining plan. You feel obligated to get your dinners in, and if you're planning 3 meals a day, that takes a lot of time. Yes.
Yeah.
To do if you do 3 sit-down meals in one day, you are taking away from your park time or cutting into it tremendously, a lot more than you would think, because you have to allow for getting there in enough time. You have to allow for the actual meal itself. I would say you need to plan at least an hour, if not two, per meal.
Yeah.
So that's 6 hours of your day right there that you're having to plan around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you never know if you're going to get a server like we got at Garden Grill, who was great, but, you know, he was Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett show, you know?
I think,
the old man character.
I honestly think you make the best use of your day if you don't do any more than one sit down in a day. And they don't even have to be every day you do a sit down, but no more than one, I think you're going to be better use of your time.
Yeah, I think the ideal day, although if you're just two adults with no kids, you could do a couple of sit downs.
If your purpose is to go there and eat, then sure.
Yeah.
I think the ideal for me would be like a quick breakfast somewhere where you can mobile order and do a quick service lunch and then a sit down dinner. That would be like my ideal day. Because some people think, let's do a lunch, a sit down lunch. That way we can take a break and rest. Usually, though, after you sit down and rest, you just want to take a nap, especially after you eat. But if you have that dinner at the end of the day, then yeah, go to bed. Like, you're already done. Like, because you're going to want to like sleep once you sit down and stop moving, at least in my case. You kind of, it's hard to rally after you've sat down and had a nice big meal for lunch. You're like, you know,
I would say the best thing you could do spontaneity wise, right? Pick out two or three things you want to do.
Yeah.
Kind of focus on just those two or three things and consider anything else you might get in a bonus. You know, don't try to feel like, oh, I have to be here, I have to be there type deal. Right. Try to plan it around. And if you are going to plan meals, try to plan it around where you're going to be at that particular time of day. So, I mean, you know, but if you're doing it, like I say, if they're doing the spontaneity thing, I guess you're just going to pick. Like back in the day, we used to just pick where we were closest to when we got hungry.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
And that's why I was saying, if you know enough to know how to just pull up your phone and say what dining reservation is available near me right now, you might, like, especially if you're at like Epcot, like, try something you've never tried before.
Yeah.
You know, a place you've never been, and, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
That'd be fun. Aside from the most popular stuffs, if you're using Genie Plus, you're going to find a way. You can be spontaneous with that to some degree, except for the absolute most popular things.
Right. Yeah, it's like
you got some flexibility.
You need your virtual queues unless you want to buy the individuals, which, you know, if you haven't been in 5 years, you're probably not aware of any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to, like, educate yourself a little bit. But if you know those few things, you could have a day without even, you know, planning anything in advance, you know.
Right.
I think you could have a great time. Without kids, well, you don't have to, like, you know, cater to every mood swing and need that they have all the time. You have, that frees you up to just kind of be spontaneous there already.
It's so easy to overwhelm yourself or to try to do too much. I think even going by yourself, it's easy to do too much because you feel like you have all this freedom.
Right.
You just go from one thing to the next.
Right.
And I think that's the hardest thing is to just soak it in and not
right.
just run from one thing to another.
Don't worry about what you haven't done.
Yeah. Right. Because there's always something you haven't done. But that's why you keep going back. That's the best part.
Okay.
That's the best part for me.
I don't know. That's one way to look at it, but okay.
Here's something. I last visited Disney World in 2021. December 2021. Planning a trip this coming April. It's last minute. I want to book as soon as I can, but I'm a planner trying to figure out what has changed or gone or has been updated since then. We've stayed at All Stars, Port Orleans, French Quarter. There was the Genie Plus for certain rides, no dining plan. Sometimes dining plan can be overwhelming, so any help is appreciated.
Honestly, not a whole lot's changed since that time period.
Well, I mean, Guardians, I would say.
Yeah,
I guess you do Tron and Guardians.
Guardians has been, were they not there by December of 21? I guess they weren't.
I think it was 22, right?
When yeah.
Guardians, April.
Yeah. So April. That's true. There is Guardians and Tron both, yeah, since yeah. then.
Make sure you get those in. And dining plan, if you're going, I think, didn't he say solo? What are you saying? No.
He didn't say solo. Okay. He didn't specify there.
So I would say don't worry about the dining plan. And
well, I said no dining plan last time, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So don't worry about that still. But yes, Genie Plus, if you want to do rides, you're going to have to do that.
I feel like this is a family, though, because they stayed at All-Star Music and Port Orleans French Quarter.
Yeah, makes sense. So, try Coronado. That'd be my thing, too. But
Coronado is one of the better ones for your dollar, at least, anyway. It is still a little spread out, but it is better for your dollar. Quick service there is better than some of the others.
Yes, indeed. This guy says, going solo later this week, Epcot, and then over to Magic Kingdom. Has anyone ever done this? Tips? Should I get Genie Plus?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Has anyone ever done three parks, basically, is what he just
said? Well, no, he's saying Epcot and then hop over to Magic Kingdom. Anyone ever done that? I don't know.
I don't know. Has anybody ever park hopped from one park to the other?
Yeah.
Some people claim that they've done all four in one day, but I don't know.
And ridden every ride in a day?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Sounds crazy.
This sounds insane.
Yeah. So, yes, if you're going by yourself, I would just stay at Epcot, to be honest. But but if you want to, like...
Depends on what festival's going on.
Right. Well, if it's this week, it would still be Farts, Festival of the Arts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would stay at Epcot most of the day, but maybe buy the individual lightning lane for Tron and... ride the monorail over Neutron, and
it depends
ride
on what you
the
want
monorail
to do.
Back. But honestly, the monorail would take forever when you think about it. Just, I mean, if you have the money, do the minivan, and you'll be like there in 10 minutes. Monorail will take like an hour to get to Magic Kingdom and then back.
I love the titles of some of these things. Like they start out with "Help!" like with an exclamation point, like they...
What is that
like
one?
They're desperate. Well, I mean, there's a couple of them. They're like, there's help, and then it says 4-year-old girl and 5-year-old boy. I'm hoping that they're not going by themselves. I'm guessing they're just...
Yes.
And then one of these says traveling with 3 kids, ages 6, 3, and 1. Good Lord.
Yeah.
And it says it's going back to the hotel for a nap, a must do.
Oh, is it?
The 1-year-old is probably going to sleep anywhere, so I don't know. It just kind of really that with those ages, right. It kind of depends on the 3-year-old more than anything else.
Bring a stroller. Bring a stroller that leans back.
Yeah.
That's what we always did was when they fell asleep, you just pull that thing back and they're like laying flat almost. They'd be out for a while.
Honestly, I feel like even back when we went, it wasn't near as busy as it is now. I feel like even then, they still were taking stroller till we were like 10.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I mean, I brought it last time, the stroller. Of course, I still have a 6-year-old, but...
Right. But what my point being is, like, with ages, they're that age range, you got 3 of them, they don't make a triple stroller.
Well, maybe. I mean, people still bring those wagons, you know.
I mean, Disney doesn't do a triple. Their biggest one's a couple.
Right, right. But people bring those wagons, like, get one of those and just throw the kid in there. But... craziness.
I would hate to drag a wagon around in Walt Disney World. That seems like such a pain.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either. But anyway, this one, I don't know if this was a serious one or not, but it says tips for an IBS sufferer. So, I mean, this one
could very well be serious.
Yeah. And he says, what's the toilet situation like at Walt Disney World? I'm considering applying for DAS, but just curious how many toilets are there and how close together they are.
Well, you know, should have posted this question to our site because we have the toilet expert right here.
Only because I have a 6-year-old with a very weak bladder. And, yeah, a lot of Jason saw this up close again in action where, yeah, it's just like if he has soda... Or
Fuller.
Anything with sugar in it. It's like,
right?
Huh?
Fuller. Go easy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Rubber sheets are packed. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So I would say, yeah, the toilet situation at Disney is pretty darn good. They're everywhere. But it does depend on the park and, you know, where you're at. But for the most part, they're everywhere.
Plenty.
And there's definitely some that are better than others, but. Use your app too ahead of time if you feel, you know, like you have something coming on or you need to know like where stuff is. But yeah, there's lots of good ones all over, and I know just about all of them at this point. And I usually am, like, aware of, like, the closest bathroom at any given moment. So, all right. I think I'll just...
We can wrap it up there.
So where can we be found?
Well, there is always Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel. Where can that be found, Adam?
Our website, travelingwithamouse.com. You can find links to that and more there. We have an email address, podcast@travelingwithamouse.com. And on our website, we also have a travel agent friend who you can click through there and have her help you with your next Disney travels. So, for John, my name is Adam. This is Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.